I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Each day is another chance to do the things I could have done the day before, but I didn't and known I should have. So I say a prayer to the gone for gooders who left this world and kissed my girl. Good morning, sugar. Another sunrise. And as much as I would love to roll over on you, I cannot do it because the good Lord, I prayed to him. He said niggas is listening now, so I better have something to say to him. So I'm going to tell him how I went down, man. Doing shows for free, going out of town, man. The way I almost broke down and got a 9-to-5 because I had more press than sound scans. This is the price that I pay for this music, and every word that I write is a testament to it. And I had to go back. I wouldn't change a thing. Wouldn't recut, re-edit, or change a frame, because it would not be fair to turn my back on the struggle when that's the exact same hustle that got me here. Told niggas fun to get up. We three the hard way, and Broadway's the only place you ever throw a set up. Speechless is all you be if we ever met up. I survived too much to ever, now to ever let up. Motherfucker. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Tuesday. Ready to give you some podcast, and don't forget tomorrow is our Game of Thrones recap. Justin will be our first guest.
Yay.
You guys all know, friend and fan of the show. Of course, we have some other special guests signed up. Already been asking around, making sure we can get some favorites back, some new faves, some new people coming through that I think you guys will be excited to see and hear from. So can't wait to get into this. The last six times that we ever reviewed this show, we ever recapped this thing. So but today's not the recap. Today is a day like, well, like any other. Okay, gonna talk about news and all that type of stuff. If you're listening to this show, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Okay, if it's nice, we'll read it on the air. It's that simple. We love 5-star reviews. Love to hear what you guys think about the show. We love when people talk to us nicely, and we read it on the air. It's that easy. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an official sport,
bullet ball,
a bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is today's podcast is sponsored. It is actually brought to you by Adam and Eve. Okay, let me see if
sexy,
I can find
sexy.
Speaking of sexy, sexy, let me see if I can sexy, sexy music.
Come on.
Listen, are you into free stuff? I don't know if you guys are, but I'm not gonna lie, I'm definitely into free stuff. And Adam and Eve is trying to help you with some free stuff. Hoping to help you get free. Okay,
come on.
They want to help you spice up your bedroom even better, and I'm not just talking salt and pepper to taste. Okay, I'm talking the spices way in the back that you be forgetting you got sometimes. Okay, we're gonna put some coriander on there this time. All right, we got some cumin. Okay, we're gonna put some of that on there. All right,
some of that stuff. You go, how do you pronounce this?
Yeah, we're gonna put some of that on there. Okay, we grinding over here. Select almost any one item at 50% off, and then Adam and Eve, after you pick out your whatever your item is, it could be an adult movie, it could be a toy, it could be lingerie, it could be they have all kinds of condoms over there, you know, get them discreetly mailed to you. Maybe you're a big freak, you like, look, I don't want people seeing me when I'm up in CVS buying loads and loads of condoms, okay?
Right.
I don't need them to know and be up in my business like that.
Looking at y'all weird.
Right. I don't want them questioning my lifestyle choices, okay? Literally, my lifestyle choices. Well, you can still go to Adam and Eve, and they got all kinds of stuff there. So you can get your condoms sent to you in bulk, in discreet packaging that nobody else knows. And in addition to half off, because you're not getting half off at CVS, I promise you that. In addition to that, when you enter offer code TVGWT at checkout, they also give you 10 tantalizing free gifts. A sexy item from him, a special gift for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy. I say mix and match the items. Okay? Nobody can tell you how to be a freak.
And they sure can't.
And in addition to that, they give you 6 free spicy movies. Professional movies, okay? The professional movie will never go out of style.
Never go out of style. Got good lighting and shit.
Right. I look up now on these the porn you see online, you just you don't know what's happening. Somebody's dog walking around in the background.
Come on.
The
ambulance. Come on, their telephone.
The ambulance sirens going off. It has nothing to do with the scene. I mean, it's a lot going on back here, okay? I gotta know, like, why are these two black people having sex to Fox News? I don't, now I'm asking questions. You don't have to worry about that with professional movies made with the studio, okay?
And makeup artists.
And if that's not a goddamn enough, I'm starting to get upset. I'm sorry to cuss at you. But you get free shipping. Like, what else do you need? 10 tantalizing gifts, free shipping, you getting movies. I don't know what to tell you, man. TBGWT. AdamandEve.com. Check out. Code TBGWT. Get all this free shit. You're welcome. Jesus Christ.
We doing this for you.
What more do you need? All right. Let's get into the show. A lot of stuff going on, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Where should we start?
Mm-hmm.
How about this? Teacher has been fired after students found topless selfie she sent to her boyfriend. Lauren Miranda said she doesn't understand why she got terminated. It's my breast. It's my chest. It's my body. It's something that should be celebrated. Well, I mean, I'll be the judge of that. I mean, come on. We all need to see them titties now. she's like, I'm very confident in these titties. Okay, first of all, the fact that y'all don't have balloons and confetti to see these titties, I'm a bit disappointed in y'all.
Come on!
How dare you turn this on me? You're not gonna see a set like this just anywhere. These ain't no bus stop titties, okay?
Mm-mm.
Shout out to the bus stop. I don't know why I said that. Bus stop titties are more than adequate. Middle school math teacher in Bellport, New York said she was unfairly fired after a student got a hold of a topless selfie photo she took 3 years ago. Now, how did a student get a hold of the photo?
That's the question. And if you don't answer, she did not send it directly to the student. So why is she fired?
Be a totally different article if she had sent it directly to the student.
Correct. I could see you losing your job then. Yes.
Lauren Miranda, 25, said that she sent a topless photo to a fellow school district teacher she was dating at the time and that she didn't think there was anything wrong with it. It's pure. I'm getting makeup in one hand and I'm taking a picture in the other. The photo somehow surfaced in January in the hands of a student, which led to her being fired March 27th from Bellport Middle School, where she had taught for nearly 4 years. That picture was never posted. How it got out is the $1 million question, she says.
She didn't post it online. Apparently the picture was never posted online.
I don't understand how, if she's a victim of someone taking her nude photo and spreading it around, disseminating it to students even.
Right.
How she's the one in the trouble when she's clearly the target of someone's either harassment, revenge porn. I mean, there's literally laws against that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, shouldn't there be an investigation into how this image got into this kid's hands?
Why? Sexism.
Right. What is wrong with my image? And then she says the breast should be celebrated. Miranda's now planning to file a $3 million suit alleging gender discrimination unless she gets her job back.
Right.
Ray said his client is the victim of a double standard. That's her lawyer. Yeah, the thing I find interesting is that her... she's not my client, but her defense being like, but these titties are spectacular, we should be happy about it. I find that defense to be kind of weak, as opposed to the, yo, why do y'all have my picture? You know, now there's people that go, well, if you never take a selfie, you never have to worry about it. I feel like at this point in society, we are way past the if you never took the picture type of thing. There should be a level of trust and,
right. So
and whatnot between consenting adults, that when something like this happens, we don't just come down on the person that took their own picture and trusted another adult that they were dating at the time with the picture. We should come down on whoever got the pic, let the picture be out there.
Right. And it, a lot of times when people are dating, and even if they're not dating, when people send this stuff, they send it with the understanding that you're not going to post it or plaster it everywhere. That's why they got laws that say, I sent this to you. I did not expect you to put it online. And, yeah. You know, and all it does, it actually hurts everybody. and everybody that like to see titty pics and ass pics, it hurts everybody, because now you got people going, I'm not sending a motherfucking thing, because if I send it to you, how do I not know I lose my job or some shit? Because they're not, nobody's going to be like, well, why did you do this? It's going to be, why did you take the picture?
Right. The other thing I would throw out there too, I find interesting, you could tell she's a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh, how can you tell, Karen? You was quick with that, uh-huh, how can you tell? Because I had the whole way I was going with this, but...
You go ahead, finish yours.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You can tell she's a white woman, because she went straight to the well of, anytime a man has ever exposed his chest, no one has ever commented or had a problem with it whatsoever. But when a woman displays her chest, as happened here, she gets fired from her job. That's her lawyer's, defense. That's like white people stuff. The whole, like, women want to be as topless as men. That's like New York, like, city feminist stuff. Like, and I'm not saying it pejoratively. Like, it's an actual cause in New York City. Like, women should be able to walk around with their titties out. Men walk around with no shirts all the time.
Right.
And I don't understand what the fucking problem is. And, like, they have rallies for it and shit like that. That's... also kind of feels like a little bit of some white people shit. I'm not saying only white people feel about the same way about the topless thing, but like the fact that she didn't go, this motherfucker sent my picture out here, where is he and why isn't he in trouble, seems like she skipped a whole another step to like, what's wrong with titties, which is cool, but I feel like that's some white people stuff. She already on the next level of like, titties as a general theory, let's discuss. And I'm like, and what about this nigga that's out here clearly showing your pictures to kids?
And that's fine, and that will be my defense, and he will be smacked with a subpoena. The fuck you gave my picture to these kids?
Right, like,
you're a problem.
Like, that's such a, I don't know, like, I'm not saying, it's just such a tiny detail, but I, like, without even seeing a picture, I was like, oh, this must be a white thing. Cause
I'd have been mad. I'd be like, oh, bitch, if I'm losing my job, motherfucker, you are too. Why didn't y'all hold him accountable? How did I send it to him? How did it get in the children's hands?
Yeah, sister would have had to threaten to cut somebody before we got to the general, like, environment and the attitudes of people towards titties.
Oh, the attitude towards titties would have been the last thing on my mind.
Yeah, that's just such a funny defense. And maybe it's not her defense, because her lawyer is the one who said that. So maybe that's just him being a man and saying that shit. Because I'm like, I mean, I guess if that's what you're gonna sue the school based off of and go to court over, but I don't think you're gonna. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's what you can sue the school over, because it's not like they distributed the picture, I guess.
Go ahead. And it is a form of discrimination, because I would sue you for not holding him accountable for handing out my picture to a child. Mm-hmm. That's what I was suing you for.
Yeah, I don't get how that part got skipped in this whole article. And she talks about being an excellent teacher and all this stuff, and she never got a bad, review, but I'm just like, dog, what about the fact that your picture has been distributed to children?
Even the school system is skipping over that, and they should be held accountable for skipping. You're skipping over. You're going, well, a child got it. Okay. A child got it. It is a problem that my photo got in this child's hands. So until we address that, what the fuck are we talking about?
And I do understand it's a tough position to be in as a school. I'm not trying to be oblivious to that.
Yeah.
Like, you would have to have a teacher that has her naked picture going around the school at the same time that she's teaching. I'm sure that can be used as a hostile environment type thing. That can be used, people will say y'all condone and encourage it. I'm sure it's more complicated than what the fuck I'm saying. Like, maybe there's some other solution I don't understand, like moving her to a different school or another classroom or having some type of assembly. I don't know what the right thing to do here. It's just not like the wrong thing to do is to fire the woman who clearly is the one who's had her thing targeted, because essentially what your argument is none of the teachers there are really allowed to send like sexual shit to like to sex their loved ones or whatever. And maybe the school's argument will also be, well, y'all had a relationship between two teachers and it wasn't really reported to us, and maybe they have some sort of HR discussion, some type of HR argument, and maybe that's what the school would say, which I would understand that a little bit more. But then in that case, why isn't the guy getting fired as well? He was in a relationship too, and clearly the picture got distributed. Well, the school could also believe she's lying. Okay, I didn't even think about that. So the school could be like, we think you gave the picture out, You know, he's saying he didn't, you saying you didn't, we firing you, you know,
and fire him too then. That's my thing. Yeah. Every, if like I said, if I'm out of a job, nigga, you is too. Everybody lost their fucking job,
right? And why isn't the student in trouble?
Right.
I just don't understand. I don't understand the story at all.
And it's very frustrating. And I know I don't have kids in the school system and shit like that, but it's very frustrating how fucking puritanical parents get when it comes to shit like this.
And this is before the parents, they didn't interview a parent in this thing. This doesn't even sound like the parents did it. It sounds like the school just did it. Like, they were just like, before even we could get the parents outraged, we just gonna preempt that with she's fired.
Right, because they don't want to deal with the parents. Like they're like, we don't want to deal with the backlash, any controversial shit, or anything like that. So my thing is, okay, I lose my job, everybody needs to be fired. Everybody, right. Not just one party. Mm-hmm. Not just the woman, because you want to get rid of her, because you feel like you get rid of her, you get rid of the problem. What about the nigga that put my picture out there? That's a fucking problem.
Airbnb guest found hidden surveillance camera by scanning Wi-Fi network.
Oh!
Seems like this is kind of commonplace these days. We keep coming up with stories like this. Now, I'm sure Airbnb is a global thing at this point.
It is.
And regulating that shit, I mean, they only really can regulate it after someone is caught being offended. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what they can do about this, but God, it seems like we just always have these. A New Zealand family that booked an Airbnb in Ireland recently discovered an undisclosed camera in the living room, and the family says that Airbnb initially cleared the host of any wrongdoing before finally banning the offender from his platform. Once the family had unpacked, Andrew Barker, who works in IT security, scanned the house Wi-Fi network. The scan unearthed a camera and subsequently a live feed from the angle of the video. The family tracked down the camera concealed in what appeared to be a smoke alarm or carbon monoxide detector. Neely Barker posted an image on Facebook showing the location of the camera in the living room, a shot of the family from the sneaky video feed.
And that's because he's an IT person. Like, that's his job. So, but the average person wouldn't have thought about that or wouldn't have figured that out. I know, right. I wouldn't have.
I know, yeah. And the thing is, people got caught, like, they got caught because they didn't hide the camera from the feed, which they could have hid from the Wi-Fi thing. The other part of it is, this was surreptitiously put in there. Who knows how many other families have stayed there, other people have stayed there, and they're on somebody's camera.
Right.
You know? And this is, if you want to see a picture of what the camera was looking at, that's, the top is a view from the camera, the bottom is the view
of the family.
Keep in mind, I mean, there could be children that are naked or something in these videos. That could be women that go to stay by themselves that are in these videos. That could be men. They could just all kinds of shit where people are not consenting to be on camera for this live feed that, you know, this person may feel like it's up there for security or something, but that's not in the agreement that you get to surveil me.
Right.
We're not certain which of the two devices on the ceiling contains the camera, but while the device on the right looks like a regular smoke detector, the one on the left appears to be similar surveillance cameras that are designed to look like smoke detectors. We contracted Neely Barker for more details on how the family discovered the camera and video feed. We'll update the story, we get a response. It's an update. Andrew Barker told ours that the camera was in the device on the left, so that's the one. Okay, I see which one it is. If you zoom in, you can see the tissue paper that I stuffed in the hole to block the camera lens while we worked out what to do. Barker said that he used the Android apps to do network and port scans of the wireless network. Port 80 was open as soon as I connected with my browser. Up popped the video feed you can see from my screen capture. I used the feed to locate the camera in that ceiling enclosure. So yeah, it's some ID shit that he even discovered this. Most people would not figure this out.
Mm-mm.
The family relocated to a hotel, contacted both Airbnb and the property host. The host initially hung up, but later called back and told them the camera in the living room was the only one in the house. CNN wrote, it's not clear whether the host was recording the video, whether he was capturing audio, whether he was monitoring it remotely in real time, or whether he was using it for anything more than monitoring guests. We felt an immediate violation of our privacy in the private residence we had paid to occupy. Ours has previously written about hidden cameras at Airbnb rentals in 2015 and 2017. I guess that's the website, Ars Technica. Airbnb admits mistake in response to the incident. So their response was troubling. They didn't seem to grasp the seriousness of the issue. They were treating it like it like a canceled booking.
Right.
Oh, you guys want to cancel your booking? This nigga is recording people and they not supposed to be able to.
Right.
Airbnb temporarily suspended the listing and promised to investigate, but when Barker contacted Airbnb again 2 weeks later, the company told her the host had been exonerated and the listing was reinstated. How do you exonerate him? Not my camera? Like, what is the exoneration on that? Airbnb finally banned the host after Neely Barker posted about the disturbing incident on Facebook. This has become a trend with Airbnb.
Great. Somebody got to go online and be like, y'all see this shit? And then they respond. Why aren't you more proactive than this?
They have to get embarrassed into responding. Once right. your story goes viral. Remember the woman who, like, the guy came to the house and, like, shit all everything mm-hmm. and she felt threatened, and then she told Airbnb and they basically didn't do anything, the police didn't do anything, and then finally when the story went viral, Airbnb was like, we need to take this guy off the hosting thing. You know, I think there was another woman who, the guy was found her on Airbnb, was like sexually harassing her and went by the house when she wasn't, when she was there. And same thing, Airbnb waits till it goes viral and they're like, okay, we're gonna try to do something with this. Scary yeah. as hell.
And somebody like me who never used the service going, I don't think I will ever use the service. I just go into a regular fucking ass hotel and pay the high exorbitant prices then, because it's just not worth the hassle of being in somebody's home and not knowing if they're recording you or not, not knowing what's here or not. I'm not IT. I don't know.
Right. The Airbnb investigation, which didn't include any follow-up with us, exonerated the host, no explanation provided. The listing with the hidden camera was not mentioned and is still on Airbnb. Airbnb said it made a mistake and responded again. Our original handling of this incident did not meet the high standards we set for ourselves, and we have apologized to the family and fully refunded their stay. We asked Airbnb how long the offending host was renting out the place, but the company didn't answer. Their policy says that a host must disclose any type of surveillance device in listings, even if it's not turned on or hooked up. Cameras are allowed in certain spaces if they are disclosed, but Airbnb prohibits any surveillance devices that are in or that observe the interior of certain private spaces such as bedrooms and bathrooms, regardless of whether they've been disclosed. If a host discloses the device after booking, Airbnb will allow the guest to cancel the reservation and receive a refund. Host cancellation penalties may apply. Man, you could, there's so much shit that could be on, you just, if you smoke weed, hey, this motherfucker smoking weed in here, I'm calling the cops. You know, like, all kinds of shit, man. Like, that's so wild. I don't know. Maybe this kind of shit happens at hotels all the time. We just don't know about it. But I don't know. Airbnb seems to be, like, a heavy offender of just weirdos in their private house doing weird shit to fucking unsuspecting people. You know?
Yeah, because, you know, the thing, I mean, I know hotels fuck up, too, now. But, you know, at least with the hotel, I got a downstairs desk. Somebody I can put my hands on and be like, hey, motherfucker, something not right, right here, right now.
Right. It is crazy. I mean, because I think people get so defensive about Airbnb because they use it. Mm-hmm. And so then they start making excuses. But if you paid your money, this should not be acceptable to you.
Right. It's okay to use the service. But, right. Yes, you're going, you should not be allowed to record me without my consent.
It should bother the fuck out of you that somebody could just be like, well, you know, people be wilding out in these rooms sometimes. I just need to have it on tape. But without telling me, if it's so on the up and up, then just tell me, hey, I record everything going on in the living room. Allow me the option as a customer to be like, I don't want to stay there. You know, I don't know, man. It seems kind of suspicious to me. So I don't know, be careful, man, out there. This shit is crazy, man. My best friend forever turned out to not be forever.
Oh shit.
But here's why I'm okay with our breakup.
Okay.
So on bustle.com. Last year, one of my closest friends unceremoniously dumped me. It's more complicated than that. Friendships often are. Maryland and I met in Santa Fe in 2007. We both just moved there. I came from the East Coast. She came from the West. She was wearing black Converse high tops with pink laces, and she was tall, slender, and beautiful. The first time I saw her, I knew we would be friends. Call it fate or the optimism of being 23. Either way, I had consummated my dream of moving to the Southwest, and everything was possible. Marilyn was 6 years older, just a year shy of 30. The first time we hung out, she drove us to her black Jeep Liberty in Ojo Caliente, a hot spring paradise 45 minutes north of Santa Fe. We told our life stories in the car on the way up. We were best friends by the time we drove back. The sky, a shimmering shade of purple Santa Fe, is so famous for.
A white woman wrote this. Who wrote this?
Of course a white woman wrote this, Karen.
I'm about to say, this sounds like a Yelp review.
And so began one of the most important friendships of my life. For 3 years, we were inseparable. We moved to San Francisco to attend grad school to become, when she moved to San Francisco to attend grad school to become a therapist, we stayed close for another 7 years. For the last 5 years of our friendship, we didn't see each other, but we spoke on the phone and FaceTime regularly. During that time, I moved back to New York. In 2016, Marilyn got married in a tiny family ceremony and asked if I would come out and spend a few days with her to celebrate. A few months after her wedding in early 2017, I flew out to San Francisco, stayed with her for a couple of days. Though we tried, nothing felt the same. Our friendship had changed. I felt uncomfortable in her home. We couldn't connect the way we used to. I had changed, and she had changed, and the changes were relatively undetectable 3,000 miles away, but they were glaringly apparent in real life. I cut my stay short. We emailed a couple of terse emails and lost touch. After a few months passed, I attempted a few times to get in touch. I felt conflicted. I missed her, but I didn't know if I missed Marilyn the person or Marilyn the memory. Eventually, after about a year, she agreed to meet for coffee while I was in her city. The day of our meeting, my boyfriend and I sped all the way from Big Sur so I would make it to the coffee shop on time. When we pulled up, Marilyn was sitting outside wearing a denim jumpsuit and lipstick, and I thought, okay, maybe we could work this out. From the jumpsuit and the lipstick? What's going on with this? I don't know.
Would they love us?
She was dressed up that day, so I said, maybe we can still be friends. Very superficial. We wound up in her office sitting on the floor. While she ate her lunch. She had an hour between appointments. I thought we were meeting to catch up and figure out our friendship. What? She launched into a strange tirade about her incapacity for friendship. I've considered the possibility that I may represent something that Marilyn's unwilling or unable to have in her life, a reminder that she was once young and untamed. Oh, bitch. That's shade. That sounds kind of judgy of Marilyn, like, you old, washed up hoe. I think I'm symbolizing something you just can't have no more. Youth and beauty.
Well, shit, bitch, we both older.
That's the real problem, okay? You broke and you busted. Look at your life. Looking at me must remind you of everything you could have had, but you don't anymore. Because you old and you tired, okay? What is this? At first I was upset. I took it personally, even though I don't actually think it was personal. She expressed it these days. She spends time with her husband and their dogs and her family from time to time. From everything I know about her, I don't think that's a lie. She told me that friendships just don't hold weight for her anymore, that her priorities have shifted. Now see, this is my personal feeling. I feel like Marilyn was trying to come clean to you and be like, yo, this is why I haven't been as tight with you as of late. And I'm kind of, you know, like, it's not personal. I'm just really into my world over here. And I'm just not having a lot of friendships right now and not deep, meaningful ones because I'm trying to develop my family and everything else.
Yeah, and that's real. And the thing is, as you grow older, relationships change, the importance of relationships change. And it's one of those things where, you know, like us, we actually keep to ourselves. Like, you know, we do go out and do things, but we keep to ourselves a lot. You know, family have things. I may or may not go to it because, you know, the podcast is my baby and that's first and foremost. And that's kind of hard when relationships change. Sometimes people aren't willing to always adjust.
You know, another thing I'll throw out there, and this is not to disparage anybody. But sometimes when you're in a relationship, you're married or whatever, or you're heavily committed, single people have single people shit.
Yeah, they do.
And that's not a knock on them. Mm-mm. Everybody, when they were single, had their own single people shit. But sometimes, like, for single people, like, they put a little bit more time into friendships and stuff like that. And until they get their own type of shit popping, and then it's like, yeah, I don't call every week to check on people anymore because I got my man or I got my woman now, and we going out doing couple shit, you know, and we're not, you know, we're working on us.
Right. People have children. A lot of times relationships change. You know, it's a lot of things. People, like you say, move. It causes relationships to change too.
Right. I'm not saying that's what happened here, but that could be a possibility. And she might not have been trying to make a strange tirade. She might have been trying to explain to you, like, yo, if you feel in some level of distance, it's because of life and what I'm working on. As time has done its thing, I realized our parting makes sense for the second half of our friendship. Though we still spoke on the phone, our dynamic had changed, and so had we. Once upon a time, we lived in Santa Fe. We were young and unattached and free. We sunbathed naked in her backyard and ate lavish dinners that she always generously paid for with her family's money. It was a different time. Yeah, that's definitely, I mean, you mad she was like, you need to pay for this coffee this time? It's been 6 months since our weird conversation on the floor of her office. I think of her sometimes. She has made cameos in my dreams. If it were up to me, we'd still be in touch, but I respect the decision. I've come to understand that the person I want to be in touch with no longer exists. Some friends can grow side by side and love each other's changes. I have many old friends with whom this is the mutual case, but not with Marilyn, and I can't change that. All right. Perhaps someday we will reconnect. The romantic in me likes that idea. But also, I have considered the possibility I may represent something that Marilyn is unwilling or unable to have in her life. A reminder that she was once young and untamed. I love that part of myself. And though I don't pull the car over on the side of the desert at 2 a.m. to have an impromptu photo shoot by the light of the full moon anymore, she doesn't wear mini dresses to dance on speakers anymore. We don't hook up with each other and our friends anymore. I don't deny or reject that part of me. I like the reminder. You were once wild.
The fuck is that?
Wildness, Karen. That's that wildness. She was once wild and she doesn't do that anymore.
Yep. Dog.
I wonder if hookup means like sexually hookup, because you know white people say hookup different than we do.
Sure do.
We be like, let's hook up, like let's go hang out. Mm-hmm. But hookup for white people means let's like make out to fuck somewhere in between there. So I wonder if she means that with the whole, yeah, like I wonder if there's a sexual thing, the way she keeps describing how she looks.
Right.
We were naked sunbathing in the backyard.
At some period of time they may have had some form of a sexual relationship, and yeah, she, you know, she like, hey, I've got a boyfriend, you know, a husband, you know, and stuff like that. Like, so the relationship between us has got to change now because my priorities have changed.
Yeah, and the whole, like, young and wild and untamed, I wonder if that is more than just a friendship type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Friendships end for different reasons, and they don't always end so much with so much love. Jessica, 35, my ride or die best friend, tells Bustle that she felt beyond relief when she ended a friendship several years ago that was no longer serving her. After years of deliberation, I don't know which venue to take. I was like, how do I break up with her? What are the words? Jessica says in the end, she wrote an email and kept it short. If you really need to cut someone loose, you might have to say something that doesn't address them directly, she says. Man, maybe I'm weird, but an email to break up with a friend? Am I doing friendships wrong? Are people out there waiting on like closing interviews? Like, where's my exit interview on this friendship?
Apparently so. I don't know. We in the age now, I can see people doing some bullshit like that.
Have I not been sending the memos to the right people?
Mm-mm, I ain't been CCing and blind copying the right people on it. I don't know how to be a friend, apparently.
Oh, I noticed that I did not receive a notarized formal friendship ending agreement in the mail, and I'm really upset right now. Jessica wasn't even sure she was truly breaking up with her friend. She just knew she needed to pump the brakes. The relief she felt told her otherwise, though. The experience taught her that it's fine, nay wise, to let go of friendships that aren't working regardless of circumstance. That has led me to be very purposeful with who I keep in my life, Jessica says. Once you get over the hump of being able to do that, it seems to open up the road to more meaningful friendships.
Is your internet working?
It was, you know, yeah, it's working for me.
Okay.
I see people in the chat room.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys can hear me, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's working on my side.
Okay.
Yeah, they see me, so.
Okay,
cool.
It's me. Just wanted to be sure.
No problem. Nah, it's no problem. It just can't see you right now. Just log back in and we'll see if we can get it to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now keep in mind, she linked Jessica. So she links to Jessica's piece, who wrote an article in Bustle in 2016 called How to Break Up with a Friend Like a Mature Adult. This is a lot.
This is the whitest thing ever. The fuck is this? It doesn't make sense.
This is a lot. I don't know about all this, guys. It seems like a hell of a place to go.
What white nonsense is this?
Right?
How to break... I mean, do y'all need how to, guys, to break up with a friend like an adult? Is this a thing? She just knew she needed to pump the brakes. The release she felt... that has led me to a very purposeful who I keep in life. Da, da, da. Tessa, 28, tells Bustle that she encountered something similar to my experience with Marilyn. I love friendship like a sister, she says, but her friend made some lifestyle choices that didn't resonate and they grew apart. There was no fight. She and her friend just couldn't be friends anymore because the foundation of their friendship had changed. At first, it was hard for Tessa to let go of her friend. Eventually, they had a conversation and agreed to end their friendship. It may have been right, but it wasn't easy. Social media was cruel. Seeing her friend on Instagram didn't help to ease the sting. What? What happened to your life? Oh, you reset your computer. Mm-hmm. Yo, what the fuck?
I don't know what's happening right now.
Then unfollow me on Instagram if you really are that hurt. Hey, I think we should end our friendship. Wow, really, sis? I went on Instagram. You still out here eating cakes on Fridays?
That's without me.
That's some bullshit. Just because I wanted to end the friendship didn't mean I want to see you be happy. After 5 years of mourning the loss of that friendship, they reconnected. Tessa says, as soon as I really let go and really surrendered, like, okay, I'll just trust the universe is going to take care of her. Not trying to control it, she says. She and her friend were slowly able to restart their friendship. Today, they are still friends. And Tessa, like Jessica and me, has gotten choosier with her friendships. I don't want to expand any extra energy to someone who's not a friend, someone who I don't want in my life, someone I don't want to build something with. The people who really love me, the ones I love, are the ones that matter. Oh, you know what? I figured it out. I know what this is.
What?
It's not necessarily just some white people shit. The amount of effort they're putting into the correspondence is some white people shit. Right. And feeling the need to like write out and describe their friendships is definitely white people shit.
500 words.
Yeah. But you know what? This is just growing older.
Agreed.
That's all this is. I agreed
because people change as they get older, dog.
And also, you just have less time and energy for just bullshit. These are people that had a lot of extraneous, quote unquote, friends. Sounds like just a lot of everybody's my BFF. We're all friends. We're taking pictures. We're doing things. And then your friends start getting older and they do shit like get married, move, have children, and you go, "Oh, is our friendship gonna fizzle out? Do we need to have a conversation?" I think most people, at least from our generation, because we don't really necessarily document our friendships this way, mm-mm. At least we have in our whole lives.
Right.
I think we just kind of go, we just don't hang out anymore.
Right. That's kind of the end.
And for them, it's like, I've been given the world so much of my life and my experience. I have to explain to them why Sharon's no longer in my pictures on Saturdays at brunch.
Hon, ain't nobody thought twice about Sharon.
Right. That's how I look at it. Like, we not friends no more.
Right. And the thing is, as you get older, your priorities change. You know what you got a whole lot less of? Motherfucking energy.
Yeah.
You don't have energy. Your ass, you get jobs. Work. You come home.
And that's another thing. You got friends that you're only friends with because y'all work together.
Right.
You got friends you're only friends with because y'all go to the club together. Yeah. You got friends you're only friends with because y'all go to church together, whatever.
Right.
One thing changes, you're not actually that tight.
I had to learn that. And I think that's something that's shocking to people. Some friendships are there because you have something in common. You take away that common factor, the relationship changes. And that's okay. I just think that's a very hard thing for people to understand until you get older. You get older, you be like, yeah, we're cool because we work together. If you leave or I leave, I will be okay. But a lot of that actually comes from you just getting older and you're just maturing and you're just understanding that that's how life goes.
Also, like, are you not too busy to do this? Am I not living a life that is challenge-free enough that I've gotten down to the hierarchy to the lowest rung of like problems where I'm like, I didn't end that friendship in a loving way. Like, I don't think I've ever had that thought. Like, literally as I'm reading this, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess there are people I used to be friends with and I moved on. Never occurred to me that I needed to, like, you know, send them a telegram or anything. It just felt like, yeah, the friendship is over and it's cool.
Right. And sometimes, truth be told, there are sometimes relationships mean more to you than they do the other person, and that's okay too. That's just a part of, like I said, that's part of getting older and growing and developing and learning who you are and learning what you will and won't put up with. You know, it's just a process. And also, like I say, it's really some white people shit, because if you out here grinding and working and taking care of your family and shit like that, that's the furthest thing. You know, you might think about somebody, you be like, oh yeah, how's so-and-so doing, and reach out to them and things like that, but you know, I'm not gonna be depressed for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. As marriage license and family therapist Esther Boykin tells Bustle, letting go of a friendship in a loving way can be so challenging. We really are conditioned to think of friendship as a lifelong thing unless someone does something egregious, but friendship, like any relationship, can grow apart. And it's true. Part of letting go of my friendship with Marilyn has been realizing that the old make new friends but keep the old adage does not always apply. Life is long, but not every BFF actually turns out to need that last F affixed to their name.
And also, what I realized too, a lot of people when they're young, and some older people, but a lot of people when they're young, they throw around the word friend, yeah, a lot. Like they
just, people in general, right? Not even young people. We've had people in the last couple of years that, you know, I like, because of the way they use friend, I started using friend that way, and I thought about, I was like, no, that's not my friend,
right?
Like I'm like, no, I get it, you mean acquaintance, really. And I right. Like, to me, when I say friend, I mean something stronger than that. And not everybody's gonna make it to that level. It's hard to be a friend for me anyway, because it's just like, I don't count everybody amongst that.
Ain't that the truth? And the thing about me, like you said, you get old, you go through things, people disappoint you, people use you. I'm speaking from my own personal experience. And you get to the point where you go, oh, when it comes to, I feel like this, I require a certain level of, I don't want to say personality, but I require things of my friends. And I've realized that, I'm going to tell you right now, I am special and everybody can't handle me. And I understand that. And everybody cannot require my requirements for being a friend. You know, it's a lot of people. They're very flaky, that you can't trust them. Like, it's a lot of things. Like if I call you a friend, like we road dogs, it's certain things that I require of you, and that's fine, because it's my friendship, so I can require whatever the fuck I want to require of the friendship. You either meet the standards or you don't. And I think for some people actually need to raise their standards of friendships, then they wouldn't go through some of the shit they go through with people. Mm-hmm. But you learn that as you get older.
We often connect with friends, especially in our youth, based on context. Boykin says, where we live, where we go to school or work, or mutual friend groups can be the initial foundation of our adult friendships. Some of these friendships will grow into a deeper, more intimate emotional bond, and some will naturally fade away over time. But it's not all tears and tiny violins. We grow and our lives change, and often that means friendships change and occasionally end. Boykin says, this ending, though sad and painful, can also be a gift. I've started to slowly reframe the end of my friendship with Marilyn that way. It was a great friendship, but then it changed. That doesn't make it a bad friendship, though. Marilyn will always be one of my great loves. I really wonder if she... I think it really does boil down to change. Or as Boykin puts it, when friends are able to clearly and kindly tell you that their life or priorities have changed, it frees you from the emotional energy of trying to maintain a one-sided connection. The last few years of my friendship with Marilyn, that's exactly what was going on. And it was rare that Marilyn called me. I usually called her. I could sense she was reticent of our friendship for a long time. I chalked it up to other things, her relationship, distance, life. I tried not to take it to heart, but it was difficult. I don't understand that. And maybe that's just because of the way I'm built up. I do think I'm built more of a, I'm trying not to be a bother to everyone.
Right.
Type of person.
And I keep to myself.
So if I get like any level of a hint that is like, this is taxing or
too much.
I'm out. Like, and it's not even on some like, fuck you. It's just like, oh, okay, cool. Your life is doing great. You don't need me to check on you. Have a good one. You know, holler at me when you need me. You know, and maybe that's a little too much of that in me, but I definitely do that. I don't do any one-sided, like, hey, man, hey, we need to get up. We need to do this. I'm cool.
Yeah, and also for me, as I've become older, I'm only gonna work so hard for a friendship. And I don't press or force friendships. A lot of people do. Like, but that's not part of my personality. We either click or we don't. And that's fine. Because everybody you meet, y'all not gonna be best friends. And I think that's a very hard concept for people to understand.
In the end, I believe what happens is always what's supposed to happen. And rather than pining over friendships lost, the whole thing is an opportunity for growth. Many times, it's simply a matter of reprioritizing, or as you learn, what you need more of in your friendships, Boykin says. Learning to take these changes as a natural part of your life's evolution rather than a failing in some way will give you the ability to access what you need in a friendship as well. This has been true for me since things with Marilyn ended. I've been slow to advance friendships that I'm not sure about. I've grown closer to my nearest and dearest and further from my sort of friends. I haven't been so gung-ho to hang out for the sake of hanging out. You're just getting old, boo.
Yeah, come on, dog.
That's all.
When you get old and you realize your time is valuable,
right?
You be like, put it like this. When I go to work, I hang around people and I deal with people because I'm paid to be here. If I'm not paid to be there, motherfucker, I better enjoy your goddamn company.
Yeah, when your friendship is sliding on down and your bedtime is sliding on down.
Come on.
And time is a little more precious because you're not going to be out till 4. You're going to be out till 10.
You
might have to cut out some superfluous influences, man. And also just some things have a season. I think of all things that way. And
right, they do.
That's not to demean people. Literally, things have a season. It's okay when it's over. Things have an ending. That's why I love fall. It's an ending that's so beautiful. And spring is a time of renewal. But that's why I love that season, because it's just like, yo, things can be beautifully ended. You know, things come to an end naturally. It's part of the cycle. For you to have room for new growth, you have to get rid of the old.
Agreed.
And that's okay. You know, I think it's kind of interesting because, like, I had a friend in high school, Rashida. She was my best friend at the time.
I miss her.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, she got a boyfriend. I think they even got engaged or whatever at one point. And, you know, also when you get a man, like, a lot of times they have weird hangups about men being friends with women. Totally right. Understand.
Right.
Men are trash. I do get it. I'm not calling him trash. I'm saying men in general are trash. I get why you might feel like, what's this nigga up to? Whatever.
Right.
Cool. But at the same time, I'm not resentful about it. I'm not sitting around like, this motherfucker, I often dream of her. Where is she? Like, cool. You know, like, it's no hard feelings. Mm-hmm. If it was meant to be as a lifelong journey, we will come back together. If
Agreed.
Not, that's fine as well. Like, these people that get upset about that, you know, I had one of my friends was a white dude. He got married. He had a kid. He got a house. He moved out of the city. Like, cool. Not like, who was sitting around checking that to be like, but what about me? Where is the room for my life? Like, cool, fam. Like, is we don't have certain things in common anymore. You moved on. I moved on. Absolutely fine. I don't know who these people are that harbor grudges. If I saw that motherfucker in the street tomorrow, I'd be like, hey, yo, long time no see. Everything good with you?
Right.
And move on. Now, after that, I wouldn't be like, now let's go hang out tomorrow. I'll be like, all right, cool. You know, anyway. Thank the friend who had the courage to be honest about their current capacity to be close to you and take it as an invitation to seek more of the things you need in other relationships, Boykin says. Licensed marriage and family therapist Michelle Ferris, author of Eliminating Codependent Behaviors, points out something I was already acutely aware of. My exit interview with Marilyn was a gift. Being able to ask questions as a way to try to understand why the friend chose out is important for healing. Interesting. Ferris tells Bustle.
Why they chose out.
Yeah, like why they decided to not be your friend anymore. You get an exit interview. Not knowing the reason why creates a lasting hurt that's hard to heal. I'm going to be real. I don't understand the other side of this.
Mm-mm.
And maybe that's my fault. Maybe I'm lacking some empathy there, but my mind just does not work this way where I'm like, but you owe me closure to a friendship where it was a years long fade away. Like, it wasn't an abrupt, we were kicking it Saturday and then fuck you, I'm not talking to you.
Right.
Like, for years you felt like you were the only one pushing the friendship and you still needed her to say something. That's a lot. That year Marilyn and I didn't talk. Between the second and the last time I saw her, the last was so painful. I didn't know exactly why we weren't in touch, so I filled in the blanks of stories I made up. Being willing to say a goodbye conversation can help you complete whatever needs to be said in order to move on, Ferris says. This also gives you the opportunity to get some constructive feedback for your own growth. Now this motherfucker gotta give me, all right, so give me three pointers on how I can improve in friendship.
No.
All in line with my own experience, all true. The other night, I dreamt that Marilyn asked me to go on a trip with her, and I dropped everything to join her. When I woke up, I realized that if something along those lines happened in real life, I would probably do just that. Much like a romantic breakup, I'm not completely over our friendship. And why would I be?
Yeah, it sounds like y'all had a very intimate relationship.
Well, on her side, I feel like Marilyn need to write a motherfucking short ass, like, listen, first of all, this bitch was crazy. And we'd be like, oh, okay.
That makes sense.
Heartbreak often takes years to settle and fade, and friendship gets in the bones in a very distinct manner. I'm okay with being a hopeless friendship romantic, and I'm also okay with letting go with love. And of course, whoever put this out, oh, they changed, so Marilyn's not her real name. Okay, well, I guess that was cool. All right, well, thank you, BB Deets and bustle.com. That was a great read. The rest of you guys, get on your grind and get out here and start emailing people for your friendships. Making sure that they are broken up with correctly.
Don't send me no emails.
Drive, fly into town, go ahead and talk to people. So there you go.
Mm-mm. You know, polar feelings hurt.
Wow. Okay. Wow, I guess Karen is not,
I mean, not by me, but you're gonna show up and it might not be what you expect.
Okay. All right, let's do some fucking with black people, guys. Get into that segment where we talk about things that in the news that fuck with us. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that won't call you back even though you're best friends. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the globe makes you feel fucked with. There's assigned point scores from 0 to 100 until you give it a friendship exit interview. Today's contestant, everybody. That's right. See who's fucking with us today. The feds approved the renaming of Runaway Negro Creek to Freedom Creek.
Not Runaway Negro Creek. Apparently there was some Negroes running away on this creek.
I mean, one, how did it get its name? I'm assuming.
I told you, Negroes.
Negroes are running away from the south to the north.
Come on.
The other part of this, y'all really want me to believe it was Runaway Negro Creek?
It was Runaway Nigger Creek.
Come on, buddy.
You ain't got to change the words just so you can put it in the newspaper.
Who you think named this creek?
Them crackers.
Yes! That's who named it, because we didn't name it.
Them crackers.
We know who named this creek.
We did not name this creek.
Okay. Come on, man. Oh, my God. This is so
ridiculous.
Runaway Nigger Creek. What? Y'all fishing there? Like, do y'all just use this as a landmark? Now, if you go to the left, go make a left up there at the light. Now, if you get away to Runaway Nigger Creek, you done went too far. You're going to need to turn on around, buddy. Okay? Go back to that third tree. You're going to make a left on Hanging Nigger Lane, okay?
Come on.
Well, if you get to Runaway Nigger Creek, trust me, you ain't wasted a lot of gas.
And when you get down there by Beating Nigger Forest, you're too far out.
Oh yeah, you over there off Darky Drive. Yeah,
come on,
yeah. Come on, yeah, come on and turn around. Yep. Runaway Nigger Creek. What, y'all put that on maps?
Never hit a lake.
I'm supposed to live out here and MapQuest supposed to drive me past this? Are you serious?
The ways is gonna be like, you just passed.
Do white people take their friends, their black friends, to fish at Runaway Nigger Creek? Like, is that a thing? Yeah, man, I'm thinking I'm gonna do some fishing this weekend, man. Go down there, catch some bass. Oh, for real, man? Where you fishing at?
Well, Jamal, that is an interesting question.
I'd rather not stay.
I'd love to go fishing with you. No. I mean, you can definitely go. I mean, we can go together. All right, cool. I can meet you out there, man. What's the name of it? Yeah, see, that's the thing. Let me drive and you can just ride with me and we can just go together that way. Oh man, stop bullshitting, man. Just name the pond or the creek or whatever. We'll just go out there. We'll do some fly fishing. Yeah, see, that's the thing, dog. I don't know how to tell you to get there. You don't know the way? Oh, I know the way.
I know the way.
I just don't know how to tell you directions, right? Okay,
because I don't want no smoke.
Right. Okay, I'm listen, the best Brim and Crappy in the game, it's at Runaway Negro Creek.
Well, you looking like, why? I never heard of this before.
It's I don't know how it got the name. Oh, you know how I got the name. We all know how I got the name.
I didn't write the history book on it.
Come on now. We all know who got the name.
A lot of brown people.
The decision is a 2-year effort to rename the creek. After residents said it should more accurately reflect the history of the area, the Savannah Morning News reported the name change Sunday. I love that y'all think it was only 2 years, though.
Oh, people been mad about that for fucking ever.
It's only been 2 years since they petitioned to get the name changed. Oh, people been mad about
that. No, since the right people petitioned.
Yeah, right.
Because it's been petitioned before, believe you me.
The previous name had no place in our society, said U.S. Representative Buddy Carter, a Republican from Pooler, said in a statement. Buddy Carter, definitely a white man, Republican. I'm very glad our community came together at the local, state, and federal levels to make this happen. Shout out to the fact that he is a Republican. And he admitted anything was racist. Republicans don't ever admit nothing racist.
Never.
Yeah. They always be like, well, I mean, how do you know that they didn't want to be called Runaway Niggers Creek? I mean, maybe they were runaway niggers. I don't understand. You trying to say it's racist to call them that?
Right.
Then why you got it in rap music? The creek was given its the creek was given its previous name because slaves from the Modena plantation on Skidaway Island would escape and try to cross to Union Occupied Island during the Civil War. What was the name before that? Right? Because that's during the Civil War. So it had a name.
Right.
And then so many niggas ran away. They were like, going up there to the creek.
Up there where the niggas run away. You know.
The Runaway Nigger Creek.
You know where they crossed. You know what I'm talking about, boy.
You talking about the creek over by Dogwoods? No. The Runaway Nigger Creek. You know the one? They always ran away. State Senator Lester Jackson, a Democrat from Savannah, worked to change the creek's name after he heard from residents during a public meeting in 2017. You know, they've been going to that public meeting for 57 years, for hundreds of years.
Come on, protesting that shit.
Since the Civil War, being like, I think we need to change the name. And the white people been like, oh, I mean, is it really racist? It's really Southern pride. It's really about heritage, not hate. The Georgia General Assembly passed a resolution seeking the name change last year, and then the Georgia Archives petitioned the government in December. The process concluded with last week's approval from the U.S. Board of Geographic Names, which is tasked with maintaining uniform usage of geographic names across the country. Freedom Creek.
I'm pretty sure all this mapping and maps and shit like that, somebody can find the original name.
I wonder how many other landmarks have fucked up racist names we just don't know about.
A lot.
You know? Kill all the Indians Lane. What is this? We should probably change that. We should probably put a petition in a couple of years, get that changed. We didn't really mean
TP Road.
Right. Oh, we probably shouldn't have. Oh, God. We shouldn't have said that.
Right.
Karen, 0 to 100.
100.
100. I'm gonna give it a 50 because they are changing the name to Freedom Creek and they changed it, so there we go. Let's see what else happened.
That wow,
these are so bad. Here's one. Two teachers in New York were fired after noose images displayed in the classroom. The news image is a part of a larger collage that was in one of the classrooms in the middle school, which has a student body that is almost entirely Black and Hispanic. Two teachers at a middle school in Long Island, New York, not New York City, they don't have racism up there, do they?
Right, the same people that got a Chinatown.
Right, yeah.
They don't have a Jewish town, where
an image of a pair of nooses labeled back to school necklaces were displayed in a classroom. Those teachers have been fired. You had nooses on the collage labeled back to school necklaces, and no one saw this until the students did? How?
Not a principal, not an advisor, nobody.
Who made the collage? I'm trying to understand. The Roosevelt Union Free School District School Board voted 4-0 to fire the two certified staff. The staff members were not named at the meeting, but school district officials told NBC News previously that the question of terminating the two non-tenured teachers at Roosevelt Middle School, who were allegedly involved in the noose incident, will be considered at the March 19th meeting. The teachers had been employed for 2 to 3 years. A third teacher who was tenured was suspended with pay on Tuesday, pending a hearing for her alleged involvement in the display.
She was sprinkled glitter on it. What the hell is this?
She was previously an administrative lead. The news images were part of a larger collage that was in one of the classrooms at the middle school, which has a student body that is almost entirely Black and Hispanic. The collage showed two nooses and also were featuring the words "ha" and hashtag "yes." The school district in the town of Roosevelt said in February that it took the appropriate action against the teachers for the display of the racially offensive images when it was made aware of the incident. It's unclear who made the collage or how long it was displayed in the classroom. What is up with these mysteries at these schools? How did this happen? We don't know who made nothing, wow, it got on the wall, anything.
Damn, never. But you know what don't never happen? I don't never see this shit when it comes to the Holocaust.
Right.
But maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
but everybody else brown can get it though, but when it comes to that here in our country,
well, I don't know, there's a lot of anti-Semitism. I don't want to go that far.
I mean yes it is.
I'm sure that this is fucking with Black people. We cover, right, fucking with Black people, but I'm sure that there's stories of Jewish people being discriminated, synagogues being things, maybe even things happening in schools that we are just not aware of.
Correct.
And I would even venture so far as to say that it probably is happening because the alt-right and white nationalists actually hate Jewish people. So a lot of the imagery they have online and a lot of these young white boys are being radicalized to hate Jews as well, and to use anti-Jewish propaganda in the same way they use a noose. They would use like Pepe the Frog is one of those symbols they've adopted into anti-Semitism.
Agree. Okay. And like I said, maybe my lack of knowledge and me not knowing, but would you go in there and see a display of a swastika and
possibly
people be like, woo-hoo, on the display?
Possibly. And I want that. We don't cover that really here.
Right.
So we always are inundated with this kind of shit, and we're always like, what the fuck is going on? There may be another podcast where they do fucking with Jewish people, and they could probably find just as much. It might not be the same proportion, but they probably have shit like this for their kids too.
Yeah. I'm not saying it doesn't happen at all, but it's something that's not in the news at all, but it's one of those things where I don't hear about it.
Yeah, we don't really look for it.
Agreed.
I mean, there's people that don't hear about this. There's some people right now listening to this that never heard the story before. You didn't hear the story until I told you.
Mm-mm.
So you don't really hear about this unless I bring it up. So there's plenty of people in America right now living their lives that don't know about this story. They might know some of the more salacious, like so-and-so was violently beaten on video, a cop shot somebody type of stories. They don't know about this shit. We do.
Right. And to me, it's just fucked up all the way around. And it's just white people just doing fucked up shit.
Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to get nobody writing up to the show about all the fucking anti-Semitic shit that happens
in America. I'm not saying it don't happen at all. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm just being clear.
It's fucked up what they do to them too.
Yeah, I'm just being clear for the audience so we don't end up getting a bunch of that kind of, like, it does happen. Let me tell you 12 stories. We get it. It does happen. That doesn't make fucking with Black people. But I absolutely think with the rise of the alt-right, it's gotta be happening more now than it was in the last few years before this.
Agreed. Just hateful shit, yes.
So I just don't understand the mystery. That's the part that bothers me, is no one ever knows who did this and how it got to where it got.
No, how's that possible? You're in a fucking school. You're not, like, there has to be some level of being able to track this. Was it a school project? Did you buy it from someone? Was it an art project?
Did a student make it?
Who are the artists? Was it a collage that asked people to contribute slips of paper, whatever the fuck?
Then what they do, look at it and be like, open this shut case,
right? Who was the teacher that coordinated the collage coming together,
right?
there's gotta be a ton of stuff that can trace it back reasonably to how it got there, and they just like punish the teachers and then go, we don't know what the fuck happened
because they don't want to do no work
anyway. Care 0 to 100?
100.
Yeah, I would say 100 as well. That was fucked up. Let's see, we'll do one more. Black manager at a Vietnamese restaurant subject to vicious attack by owner after she quits. That's right. Well, it's not only white people that do fucked up shit to black people. She was the manager at this restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
She quit, and then of course that's when the fuckery starts. An ex-manager at a pair of Vietnamese restaurants in Texas says she was the target of racial and gender-based verbal attacks in a text message sent by one of the owners after she quit the job.
Yeah, people quit jobs every day, B.
This is also not going to get me to come back.
So light.
Domo Schneckenberg. That is an interesting name. Domo Schneckenberg, 26. That sounds like a made-up name. Anyway, who managed two Texas fuss shack houses. Shack locations, owned, one in Sugarland, the other in Caddy, or Katie. But she decided to move on and notified her employers that she would be resigning. Okay. That had no problem finishing out the week. When Schneckenberg spoke to the owner, Don Lee, on the phone, it was cordial. But afterwards, in a group text that also included the restaurants or the owner, Lee was angry. She took to the Facebook to post screenshots from a text message thread with Lee and the other owner in it. She displays where she was called a nigger and a bitch. Whoever wrote this article is horrible at editing. Did no one else look at this? This is terrible. Well, who wrote this?
Trying to tell you, that's what
Don only. This is horrific.
That's
Don.
What happened when people got their own direct logins and you ain't got no editor. Editors are important.
If I had to read this the way that you wrote it, what is this?
Yes.
She took to Facebook to post screenshots from a text message thread with Lee and in it. They didn't say the other person's name. She displays where he called her a nigger and a bitch. So looking at this, Domo just called and say she quit. I said, okay, thank you. Her last day will be Thursday. I'm gonna call her later and tell her her last day will be today. And then the other person responded, fuck the nigger. Don't like that bitch attitude anyways. Save more money now. Saturday and Sundays are covered. Question, then boss man put the question mark, fuck the nigger, like the question mark on how you can question somebody on text message with mm-hmm. iPhone. Laugh my ass off. Thank you. Boss man, leave the key with Wilbur for me. If you want your last check, close the night out correctly and professionally. The nigger says fuck you, she replied. So I don't know if they didn't realize they had her on this group text or not.
I guarantee you they didn't realize that she was, they probably thought they was going back and forth with each other and like, you know how, you know, and didn't realize it was three little bubbles up at the top versus two, because you know you can mm-hmm. normally see how many people in there.
Yeah, I won't lie and say I wasn't surprised by Lee's reaction, because I was. It was a rude awakening that the stereotypes between black and Asians are still true, new generation or not. Regardless of how long you've known them, how hard you work, how trustworthy you've been, whether or not the family knows you, you are still a nigger in their eyes. Social media posts created a stir with many people calling the restaurant to complain and write negative reviews on the restaurant's Yelp page. Further, Daddy Duncan's Barbecue, a Texas catering company that had done business with the Fuss Shack, decided to end this partnership. Writing on Facebook, we do not condone discrimination in any shape or form, so we have stopped all business with the restaurant. In fact, Schneckenberg said one of the reasons why she chose to resign is that her boss had become comfortable casually using racial slurs in her presence while she worked, despite her telling him she was uncomfortable with the language. See, that's that shit, man. Motherfuckers getting way too comfortable, and see, they call that shit a friendship when they paying you. I'm at work, dog.
I'm at work. You pay me not to do shit.
What can I say? If you're my boss and you write me a check every 2 weeks, is it really a fair relationship? If you go, I like to say the N word, and I have to be like, well, I'm not really comfortable with it. Well, get used to it, nigga. And I have black friends. They love me. They love when I do this. When I got the text, I was extremely hurt and angry, and I flipped the table over in the restaurant, Schneckenberg said, which prompted the leader to call the police, of course. I also called a staff meeting, because I wanted everyone to know what the owner thinks of me. Lee, likely because of the negative reaction that his racist language caused, finally apologized to the young woman and posted an apology on the Facebook pages. According to Daily Dot, the restaurant's Facebook pages have since been shut down. Lee himself has since resigned. I grew up in an environment that allowed ignorance to prosper, allowing the N-word to be used casually amongst friends, and it remained a part of my vocabulary until now, but that stops here. Let me tell you something. And this is something I want people to be absolutely clear on. It's one of the reasons that I say nigga, and I'm never gonna stop.
Mm-mm.
It's cause they always act like it's a confusing thing for non-black people when it comes to the N-word. I am looking at the text of this Asian man say fuck the nigger with a hard R. He didn't listen to a rap album and get confused. He used that shit the same way that like white slave owners use it. So there's no confusion. If all the black people in the world stop saying nigga tomorrow, guess what's gonna continue to be said to demean us? Exactly. Anyway, but that stops now, guys. I've learned my lesson.
Mm-mm.
The conversation that took place was fueled by rage and mixed emotions. As a result, that word took a turn for the worse. My temper has always been my downfall. Lee has said he made the decision to resign. Yeah, I also find it interesting that whoever boss man is questioned him saying nigger and then put a bunch of laughing at it. Why he ain't resigned too? Like, you thought the shit was funny, you didn't check him, you didn't say nothing at all. So far as I'm concerned, you complicit in this shit too. He's out shit. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, 100.
I would also give this one 100. This is pretty ridiculous and not confusing at all. This person knew what they were doing, and y'all fall for that okie doke if y'all want, man. You don't have to be white to be racist when you're using the N-word.
Oh, no.
You know, I know New York, they got different rules and shit up there, but don't bring that shit around me, man.
Mm-mm.
I am not cool with that. All right. You know what? Let's do something light. We haven't done this in a long time. Let's do some white people news, y'all. Everybody in for some white people news?
This is a long time.
Yep. I think I'm about to get an ad before this, so I will try to mute this shit. Because I don't like listening to the ads. I'll tell you what, ad. Go to adamandeve.com. Use code TBGWT.
Come on.
Get half off of one item and then 10 things. Okay? And you get free shipping included in that. So there's really no excuse for you not to go ahead and experience this, because you get 6 free movies. You get a toy for him, a toy for her, a toy for both of y'all. Free shipping. I mean, that's so much free shit. I'm gonna use code tonight, okay? Don't blame me either. Okay. Now let's get to white people news. Got to start with a cover.
Yeah, this one right here goes out to all my ladies, mamas, 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 mamas.
What is happening?
Mamas. My ladies, mamas, mama.
Why does the mom in this video have the I definitely fuck black men haircut though? She either needs to speak to a manager or log into black.com, because one of these is her jam, if not both.
Like this. I'm talking Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your doctor cry. I apologize a trillion times. My lady's drama mama don't like me. She
doing things like having a boy come to the studio trying to fight me. She need to get a piece of American Pie and take a bite out. This my house. I disconnect the cable and turn the lights out. And let her know her daughter is a lady and not a paycheck. Bracelets, movies, hibachi girl, I pay that. I love your mom and everything. See, I know one to trip now. She wanna rip me up, start a war between us. My brother, stay down. She never got a chance to hear my side of story. We was divided. She had a fish fries and cookouts on your birthday uninvited. Despite it, I show the utmost respect when I fall through. All you do is defend that lady when I call you. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your doctor cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your doctor cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh,
I am for real.
Never. Oh, get it, Maddie B.
You can plan a pretty picnic, but you can't predict the weather. Miss Jackson,
10 times out of 9.
Now if I'm blind, the quickest muzzle through it on my mouth and all the crime. King between the puppy love.
Oh, what are other kids coming from?
About the crib with the Goodyear swing and the oak tree. I hope we feel like this forever.
Okay, now I just want you to notice that one of the kids that beat him up, that she had, that the mom had in the back of the SUV. It's a whole story going on here. One of them kids is black. Now, I don't know, you know, if she got two different baby daddies. I don't know. She had the look. I told y'all she had that look, though, didn't I?
Seems that long until you're on and notice that the day-by-day ruler can't be too long.
Yeah, see, that boy definitely biracial over there, he okay?
She got the hair.
I could tell. I could tell, y'all. I be knowing.
Miss Jackson, my intentions were good. I never could become a magician to abracadabra. All the sad thoughts of me, thoughts of she, thoughts of we. Asking what happened to the feelings that were me.
Had.
I pushed so much about it, need to
read.
It happened for a reason, one can't be mad. So know this, know that everything is cool. And yes, I will be present on the first day of school and graduation.
Miss
Jackson, you know what I'm talking about. I am for real.
Oh, man,
never been to make your doctor cry.
I'm sorry,
Miss
Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your doctor cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss
Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your doctor cry. I apologize a trillion times.
I feel like
that's the kids bops version. And it's hilarious watching him with that 80s white boy swoop haircut he got going on now.
I'm saying, man, I might have found me a young white man on the come up over here. I'm just saying.
I mean, come on, send me another invite.
Oh, okay. You know, I'm sure my man Chris Lambert could testify that this was a bit of a bop. If he hears this episode. I think we might have discovered a new talent, young Maddie B over there. Okay, we got to talk about that, y'all, man. And we got so much Trump news we have not talked about, but we will talk about it very fast. Okay, because that's what we do. White people gave us Trump, so before we get to white people news, we got to talk about what they did. The Never Trump podcast implodes after a dust up over Howard Schultz. In the aftermath of Howard Schultz, Howard Schultz is the Starbucks former CEO. Who's running for president, one of the 27 Democrats running for president this year.
Right.
So in the aftermath of his announcement that he was considering running an independent presidential campaign, a few names were listed as supporters and strategists. Steve Schmidt was one of them. Schmidt is a pundit, formerly of MSNBC, who has worked on Republican political campaigns, including those of President George W. Bush, former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Senator John McCain. He was the guy who got McCain to choose Sarah Palin as a running mate in 2008, irrevocably pushing the Republican Party to the right. Now Schmidt has pivoted to a new career as a Never Trump former Republican. And he's involved in Schultz's absurd campaign defeating the president somehow. I don't know what that means. That sentence is kind of weirdly placed. He's involved in Schultz's absurd campaign defeat the president somehow. Okay. Schultz's potential campaign rollout is not going well. Yeah, it was terrible. Anyway, let's get to the meat of this. Let's get to the meat of this. So Schmidt addressed Schultz's aspirations and his own involvement on the podcast Words Matter last week. It was a total disaster. Going into the conversation, things were already touchy. Schmidt's co-host Elise Jordan and executive producer Adam Levine, both political operatives who have worked with Republicans and now oppose Trump, this was never going to work, were apparently not informed prior to Schultz's announcement that Schmidt was involved with the political campaign. Schmidt now says that he won't be involved in any presidential campaign, but will lead the 501c4 nonprofit to aid Schultz's third party movement. For their discussion with Schmidt, Levine and Jordan agreed they would treat their interview like any other, with no opportunity for Schmidt to speak off the record. Things quickly got out of control.
Oh shit.
Schmidt railed at having to defend himself on his podcast with a stream of curses, a source present in the studio said consumed 6 minutes. Can you imagine cursing anything?
6 minutes, Doug, your fresh year on.
Of nothing but curses for 6 minutes?
I would have to be really livid.
told that listeners were castigating him for joining an effort that could help reelect President Trump, that he owed them answers. Schmidt finally settled down enough to take about 30 minutes to questions from Jordan, normally his co-host, and Levine, the executive producer. When he wasn't cursing, Schmidt provided insights like, this is not Trumpistan, while defending Schultz's right to run as a third-party candidate. His co-host and producer then began to nail Schmidt on whether it would even be possible for an independent to get 270 electoral votes in order to win the presidency. He dodged. Then they touched on the 70% marginal tax proposed by Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Schmidt said he agreed with Schultz that the tax is ridiculous and will hurt growth. Levine, to his credit, pushed back. With Derek Jeter or another athlete not hit another home run because they're going to get taxed at 70%? Oh, well, so he's trying to say, like, are people going to not try to be rich because they're getting taxed at a higher rate? That doesn't make any sense.
Right. They still going to aim to be rich.
What's the economic behavior that he thinks is anti-growth other than his own pocket? This is when the shit really hit the fan. This is bullshit, Schmidt exclaims. I'm not doing this. Steve, you got to answer the question, Levine said. That's the producer. I'm not. And with that, Schmidt slams down his headset, abruptly ends the interview. He threatened legal action against the studio if the interview airs. According to a source involved in the discussion, when his legal threat failed, he offered to buy the recording. According to the source, the studio refused.
Of course.
Schmidt explained to the Daily Beast, my objection is not on a tough question. It is the surreality of having a podcast hijacked from me. Until this recording, I had always thought this was Elise's and my podcast. Schmidt subsequently announced he's leaving the podcast. Co-host Jordan also called it quits after accusing her co-host of cutting her out of the key decision. I think he thought it would be a softball interview, Levine told the Daily Beast. When asked about the interview and fallout, I love him. I hope he's okay, but what he did is antithetical to the mission of Words Matter. After everything he said about Donald Trump in the past 2 years, he's part of an effort that could lead to Trump's reelection. Woo! Trump got these Republicans fighting.
Got them fighting.
All right, let's see what else is happening. Trump blocking contractor back pay in government fund. Yes, Karen?
They didn't even podcast like radio stations apparently over this bullshit, huh?
Like radio station, what you mean?
You know how people are like, I quit the radio station. He was like, I quit the podcast.
I mean, it's crazy because people quit podcasts all the time.
Come on, you don't even know they're gone.
Trump blocking contractor back pay in government funding deal, lawmaker says.
No shit.
And this is old. Some Republicans point to precedent saying they've never given back pay to contractors at the previous shutdowns. Yeah, well, of course. He shut the government down and he didn't want to give anybody money. Everybody forgets it was just this year that we had the longest government shutdown like ever.
Ever.
And for some reason, it's already just like gone by the wayside. Motherfuckers still trying to recoup that money.
Right.
Roger Stone apologizes to federal judge for posting a photo of her with gun crosshairs over her. Days after a federal judge gagged Roger Stone from talking about the special counsel's Russia investigation around U.S. District Court in Washington, the Republican strategist and provocateur on Monday posted a photo of the judge with crosshairs in the background.
What do you mean by crosshairs?
Gun crosshairs, like a scope. Like, this is a picture of somebody, what it will look like when you put a scope on them. Oh. Are you trying to shoot them?
Oh, they thought that was a good idea? The fuck is this?
Yep. He later submitted a formal apology to Jackson, but not before several hours, during which he posted and deleted a slightly muted version of the original and tried to play down the symbolism. Please inform the court that the photograph and comment today was improper. It should not have been put. That's his lawyer telling him not to do that shit. Nothing happened to him, by the way. So, Trump's dumb trade war cost Americans $3 billion a month last year.
No shit.
Former Donald Trump campaign staffer alleges he kissed her without consent in 2016. She's a black, though, so I don't know if that's going to hold any weight.
It don't hold when the white ones say anything. Yeah.
There's 21 other women that have accused, so I guess get in line.
Get in line.
Who the fuck is still working for Donald Trump? Like, I hate to blame the victim, but I mean, come on. This nigga is Donald Trump. You saw grab him by the pussy video and was like, I should be okay, though. Or maybe she thought she'd be okay. She was black. She's like, he ain't into us. I don't know. That's crazy. Matthew Whitaker left the Justice Department. That's the bald-headed dude that literally felt like he got hired about a week ago, and then that motherfucker was just gone.
Who was unqualified for the job.
He took over the position place. And, oh, go ahead, Sarah. Sorry, okay.
He was unqualified for the job.
Probably. I don't know enough about him, to be honest. I just know that he had been serving as senior counselor at the Justice Department since Attorney General William Barr was sworn in last month. And he took that job in November and was stepping down in March. Donald Trump hosts another college championship team, and he offered them fast food again. So it wasn't just a football thing. He also did it to NCAA Division 1AA champion North Dakota State.
And you know what? Somebody was talking about this, and I don't know if this is true or not. Somebody was saying that because he's so disliked, they were saying that a lot of athletics, they're just going to opt just not to go no more, just not to see the president anymore because it's not worth it.
I wouldn't go in a professional sport, but see, what people forget is these are college sports.
Right.
College teams have nationalism written into them. It's not like the NFL where guys are rich, or the NBA where guys are rich, and they can... Like, the entire slavery complex of what college sports is, essentially.
Come on.
For a lot of these athletes, is kind of like that. I'm not saying it is slavery, but, you know, the whole setup of we will pay you in, essentially, college tokens that you can only spend on college campus. And you are beholden to a coach who makes millions and millions of dollars in endorsements and also in salary. And that's the real face of the team. Well, the vast majority of these college coaches are white dudes. And the vast majority of white dudes who voted for Trump. Right. So I would not be shocked if, you know, colleges will still continue to come during the Trump White House. I think professional sports will be the ones that are harder to get everyone to come.
Agreed.
And especially the professional sports that have black athletes. Attempt to override Trump veto on national emergency resolution fails in House. Yep. He wants to get that wall built. Sarah Sanders denied knowledge of a porn payoff and then left the press briefing before anybody could talk to her about it. She stumbled for like a minute and then left.
Yeah, she's a terrible human being.
Yep.
I really hate to say that about somebody, but Lord, she is.
The president had Betsy DeVos propose cutting Special Olympics funding, and then he later said right before a meeting, like, oh, no, I talked to my people. We're not going to cut the funding. Right before the meeting. To make himself look, I guess, magnanimous or whatever. Meanwhile, of course, nobody knew what the fuck he was doing. And then he pivoted to healthcare, which none of the Republicans were briefed on. So they were like, what the fuck? What is happening now? Let's see. Trump is taking credit for Obama's job gains as they continue to rise at the exact proportion that Obama had it going after 2 years of getting hit with that recession. And then for 6 years having nothing but job growth, is growing at the exact same rate of his seventh and eighth year as president, and Trump is taking all the credit as if it's his policies, which actually have not gone into really any effect yet.
I don't think people understand that. When they do, it's gonna be a whole motherfucking difference. Big difference.
Let's see. Trump visited Mount Vernon, and of course George Washington owned Mount Vernon. He made it was like a one bedroom like house at one point, and now it's like this big ass, like, you know, establishment. Like, it's huge. It's a huge mansion now.
Okay.
And so Trump said, well, why didn't he name it after himself? If he was so smart, he should have put his name on it. You gotta put your name on stuff or no one remembers you. He said of George Washington, Karen. George Washington. And of course the VIP's tour guide mentioned that he did name Washington DC after himself.
The whole fucking city. Whole goddamn city, dog.
And Trump said, that's a good point. So, that's our president. Trump picks former presidential candidate Herman Cain for federal board.
Mm-hmm.
999 is back.
Yep.
Libya is back.
Oh, let me see. Say that again, Libya.
Which one is that? Michelle Bachmann hails godly Trump. We'll never see a more biblical president. Evangelicals have lost their motherfucking mind in this country. It's the height of evil that they would co-sign this man. Of all the men they have ever co-signed, he is literally the worst one. He's the least godly of any of these people. He's a fucking got wives and ex-wives and babies all over the place. He's fucking porn stars.
Come on,
like, he's just an avarice of sin, and these motherfuckers are so happy to try to get some abortion laws passed that they are calling him a godly man. Sad, really. His Trump's sister ended an investigation into her by retiring.
I didn't even know he had a sister.
Apparently the whole family is the whole goddamn family's corrupt. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, show you how much I pay attention.
If you just a Trump, you just get investigated. It's like, just investigate her. It's very likely that whatever happened, she did something. She's a Trump. Yeah, that's her picture right there. So she favor him.
That's not good.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So you can see the family resemblance. Warner Brothers files copyright claim after Trump shares video with music from The Dark Knight.
Yeah, they was like, what you not gonna do is this.
Another strike for Black Panther. Boom. He knew not to fuck with our shit. GOP Senator Trump lied about hush money payments because he loves his family. Oh, well, the most biblical president ever lied about the affair that he had on his family and paid a porn star not to talk about. Understood. David Clark reportedly fired from the jobs that support Trump. That's the sheriff, Angry Hootie, as JL calls him.
He do look like Angry Hootie.
Ben Carson supposedly wants out. Isn't that always the case? Well, you can't get out the sunken place without someone flashing a picture in your face, so maybe that's what happened. Someone took a selfie and this nigga woke up. And Michelle Obama's labeled insensitive for comparing Trump to a divorced dad. She basically said that America wanted to hang out with his fun, irresponsible drunk, divorced dad on the weekend, and now they got sick and they stuck with his ass. All right, now let's get to the white people news.
Yeah, you realize, oh, this shit ain't fun all the time.
Shout out to the dads that tried to take offense. Okay. All right then, guys. All right. CBS worried they can't afford Gayle King.
Oh, cause Gayle King going after all the awards. She's like, oh, I'm going after all the awards.
She wants to double her current $5.5 million salary.
Yeah, goddamn right. I'm the one that got R. Kelly up here.
In order to continue her CBS Morning News stint.
Yes, pay me.
Mm-hmm.
Pay me. Eyes watch me. If I was a white woman, you'd pay me. Pay me, bitch.
Listen, you know who fucked this up for y'all? Megyn Kelly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was straight until Megyn Kelly, y'all had to pay Megyn Kelly all that money to be racist and be bad at TV and have to leave that job early.
And people saw that.
Gayle King was like, oh no, I do a very good job and ain't never had no scandals. Run my coins. I need all of my cash.
All my cash. What was the highest rating on a random Friday night? My show. Me, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, I'm sure it's other people that's looking at this money and they worried, like, how can I get some of this money? What's going on? Gail, can you explain how I can get paid like you? Why should you get $11 million?
So what do you suggest?
I suggest you just keep playing, man. Don't worry about what goes on at the top of things.
Don't worry about what's going on top of things, my 11 million, okay? Mm-hmm. Move on.
Make all your money.
Wendy Williams' husband Kevin Hunter apologizes as he is fired as executive producer on her show.
Oh, he was executive producer? Yes, bitch, you gone.
How was he still showing up to work?
Right.
How was he still showing up to work? How were you putting your loafers on one at a time to slide your ass up into the job knowing you done drug this woman's entire name through the mud just by your mere existence? Must be nice.
He probably was shocked he got fired.
Hell of a drug. Hell of a drug. That don't make no sense. Kevin Hunter has been fired as executive producer on his estranged Wendy Williams show as the $215,000 Ferrari he bought his baby mama is towed away. Williams decided to finally, she had enough of his philandering, and after nearly 20 years served him divorce papers at her TV studio at last Thursday.
Nigga, I know you're gonna be here because you're gonna show up for work.
Mm-hmm. The 47-year-old was fired. Okay, expurgated. He was fired from the show as a manager, a source of the show confirmed to dailymail.com.
oh, yeah.
One time I've seen a Wendy's manager get fired.
Come on, was it on his day off?
Yeah, the source also said Hunter has been given 48 hours to remove his belongings from their marital home in Livingston. He's over there like, I don't keep nothing over there, no way. Wendy reached her tipping point learning he had been living the high life with his decade-long mistress, Sharina Hudson, who gave birth last month, splurging on a Royce's, Ferraris, and gifting her with diamonds. All off of Wendy's hard work. Mm-hmm. Hunter released an apology on Tuesday.
He was like, a baby? That's too far.
Hunter released an apology on Tuesday, admitting he was not proud of his recent actions and was trying to right some wrongs while taking full accountability for what he's done.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to right some wrongs at another location.
Mm-hmm. And this, his statement came after, of course, his Ferrari got put away. Mm-hmm. And he got served with divorce papers in a box and with flowers, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Because she knew he would open them.
Mm-hmm. Kevin had expected to stay at the show, and as Wendy's manager, he ran the show with an iron fist. He was the guy who kept the sharks at bay. But when Wendy saw the photos of him and Sharina last week on the Daily Mail going out for dinner and her driving around a Ferrari, she was furious.
Yes.
That was what tipped her over the edge. She was like, he's got to go. She now wants him out of her life completely. She's giving him 48 hours to clear his office and clear his belongings out of the house. Wendy's sister, Wanda, came up from Florida over the weekend, and she's helping get everything in order. Wendy means business. She's cleaning house. I find it so funny because she was telling us, like, no, everything's fine. We'll make it through this. We always do. Like, girl, he's got you out here looking like a complete fucking fool. Have you asked him if y'all are fine and y'all going to make it through? Because it does not look, the future don't look too bright.
Mm-mm.
So, yep. Mm-mm-mm. And now she's apartment hunting. So, good luck to her.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with a trash-ass man to bring anybody down. A large bird attacks and kills its fallen owner in Florida.
What?
The San Diego Zoo.
What's this, Animal Planet?
I mean,
well, that's white folks, too.
Right, this is white folks news. The San Diego Zoo calls cassowaries the world's most dangerous bird with a four inch dagger like claws on each foot.
4 inches.
That people don't know. Dinosaurs came from birds. Birds came from dinosaurs. Like
what? How?
Yes.
How can you legally own it? Did nobody? Hey, we got a rule. Hey, you can't be owning shit like this.
Guess what country is native to?
Australia.
A large flightless bird native to Australia and New Guinea attacked and killed its owner when the man fell on his property in Florida. You go out there and feed this little motherfucker every day. The one day you trip, he just goes to town on your ass. That sucks. The victim, whose name was not released, was apparently breeding the birds. It looks like it was an accident. It was accidental. My understanding is that the gentleman was in the vicinity of the bird and at some point fell, and when he fell, he was attacked. Who wants a pet like that?
4 inch claws, my nigga.
A dog will at least try to help you up. Cassowaries are similar to emus and stand up to 6 feet tall, weighing 130 pounds with black body feathers and bright blue heads and necks.
Good God. It can run the average person over.
It can slice open any predator or potential threat with a swift kick. Powerful legs help the cassowary run up to 31 miles an hour through dense forest underbrush.
Good God. Ain't no reason to run. He ain't gonna catch up with you. Not unless you like a athlete, and even a lot of them can't run that fast.
Mm-hmm. So, yep. Motherfucker fell down.
Who,
and
who made it? The people from Jurassic Park?
I don't know. I don't know who. I don't know what happened. I don't even know why you want to own that shit.
What? It should be illegal. It should be illegal.
Like, what is it inside of you that you just like, man, I need to, like, fucking own that shit?
Is it dangerous and could kill you? I want it.
Right. A stand-up comedian dies of a heart attack on stage.
Oh, that's not good.
Veteran comedian Ian Cognito died on stage while performing stand-up. The BBC reports the 60-year-old, his breathing became heavy before he sat down on a stool. He then became silent for a few minutes during the Thursday show, ultimately suffering a heart attack. The show's host Andrew Bird told the BBC that the audience at the Bicester, England bar thought that he was performing a bit. The crowd continued laughing, oblivious to anything being wrong.
What? Oh, they thought it was part of his sketch.
I guess so. It was an act out. At least he can say his last performance killed.
I guess it was a heart stopper.
That's the first time a comedian didn't just get the light, but they saw the light. Don't go towards the light. Yeah, he fucking died on the stage, man. Which is terrible,
right?
You know? So in chat said, looks like that's my time, folks.
That's a good one.
damn. But yeah, he even joked about his health while on stage.
Yeah,
telling the crowd, imagine if I died in front of you lot here.
Oh no.
Everyone on Bird went on stage, the manager. He said, everyone in the crowd, me included, thought he was joking. Even when I walked on stage to touch his arm, I expected him to say boo. But it was evident that something wasn't right. Two off-duty nurses and a police officer started chest compressions, and an ambulance was called. Yeah, he said he wasn't feeling well before the performance, but decided to go through with the set. Only 10 minutes before he sat down, he joked about having a stroke. Damn. He said, this is like some weird ass, like, fucking, what's that series, that Jordan Peele is doing? The horror
Twilight
story.
Zone?
It sound like a Twilight Zone. Like, what if a comedian's every word came true? Or something, like all his jokes came true. And then he made a joke about dying on stage and this nigga just died. He's like, I'm dying up here. Everybody's like, what?
No, really.
No, for real, I'm dying up here. Oh, man. Yeah, he said, imagine having a stroke and waking up speaking Welsh. He came out feeling really sick. He just sat there for 5 minutes watching him, laughing at him. He was dying on stage. Was how Cognito would have wanted to go, is how Bird said, what Bird said, except he want more money in a bigger venue. Cognito's real name was Paul Barbieri. He was born in London in 1958. He had been performing since the mid-80s. Damn, dog.
Long time.
Right? That guy. Poor guy. Mm-mm-mm. Let's see. Lori Loughlin rejected a plea deal because she thought the DA was bluffing. And Lori Loughlin quickly found out that the DA don't bluff. This ain't a game of poker.
Ain't no bullshit with them. They're like, bitch, when we show up, it's serious. We are not your local police officer.
So now they ready to hit her with more charges.
They was like, oh, what? They said she showed up signing autographs and shit.
I saw it. She got out of that car and signed autographs like it was a goddamn Comic Con. And I said, this woman want to go to jail.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. That's so ridiculous. Girl.
She said, they were like, it's showtime.
Right. Ridiculous.
At the Apollo.
All right. We got to get out of here.
And the thing about it, she was gonna do time. She was gonna do time regardless, but now she gonna do more time.
Yeah. A man sparked a 4-hour siege with firearm cops after pulling a samurai sword on an electrician who couldn't fix his boiler. That's a lot of pressure under there. Sounds like an electrifying situation. I'm sure that electrician was shocked when he pulled out that sword.
I guess that's what happened when you let things boil over.
Sorry to cover this story so timely. I'm trying to keep you guys up to current events. Clark Smith was jailed for 2 years and 8 months over the bizarre incident in Dundee last December. The city council had sent out Sparky Ian McLean on a, I guess Sparky is a, what they call him over there, on a, I mean, that position, the electricians, on a late night call to Smith's flat in Charleston area of Dundee in December 28th because he had no heating. Mr. McLean identified the fault, but said a gas engineer would be needed to deal with it. Angered Smith, the thug then got in a council worker's face, screaming abuse at him as he tried to leave the property around 10 p.m. Fiscal Deputy Charmaine Gilmartin told Dundee Sheriff Court that having gotten into the close, Smith then emerged with from the flat wielding a samurai sword and screaming, run, run, fucking run, go back to your own scheme. Miss Gilmartin added a 999 call was made and the police attended. This, where did this happen? This, they're so nice with the language. The police attended the call. Like it was an invite. Like a wedding. The accused told a neighbor the council had sent someone to repair his boiler, but the guy said he couldn't fix it. As a sword was involved, a full firearms incident was declared, and firearms officers, a negotiator, a dog van, uniformed officers were sent to the property. They surrounded the property. The accused surrendered himself around 2:55 a.m., was taken into police custody. And now he's in jail. All right, guys, that's it. We got to get out of here. Thank you so much. Look out for me on Make It Podcast Great Again, as I should be hopping on with JL. And tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 30 minutes after the show ends, we may or may not be on Vice News. Yeah. So
we got recorded. We don't know if we made the cut.
Yeah, if they decide to air that interview, well, I guess we'll all find out and be surprised tonight.
We sure will.
If not, then fuck it. It'll be like the last time we was on Vice News and recorded all that stuff and weren't on there. So shit happens. All right, guys. We'll talk to y'all later. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.